If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
The most played song in the history of American radio. You lost that love and feeling. The great bass baritone of Righteous Brother, Bill Medley. Bill, good morning. And what I want to know is, after hearing that for 60 years, would you change anything about the recording now?
I don't know. I think I'll leave well enough alone. I think it's done pretty good on how it is, you know.
The story is that it took 2 days and 39 takes to record it. Is that right?
Probably, but back in those days, you know, you're working with two or three tracks, you know, back there in the early 60s. And so every time you would re-record, you were erasing what you've done before. Yeah, Phil Spector produced it, and he knew exactly what he wanted to hear, and Bobby and I used to working that hard, but every time we redid it, it sounded better, so we said, okay, we'll deal with that.
Bobby, of course, Bobby Hatfield. You work with Phil Spector a lot, although I know you produced a lot of your music, but what was it like working with Spector? What was he like in the studio, in the control room?
Well, you know, everybody that asks me that wants to hear a horror story. But back there in the 60s, early 60s, he was pretty sane. He was just really into the music, knew exactly what he was doing, worked real hard. You know, I think he wanted people to think that he was pretty, you know, out there, mm-hmm. you know, pretty mm-hmm. crazy. And he would put it on. He would fake it, but... then apparently somewhere in there he convinced himself. But he was real good to work with. And for me, as somebody who had to end up producing the Righteous Brothers, it was like going to college watching Phil work, and which was amazing. He wouldn't let anybody in the studio while he was recording the tracks. And then he would let everybody in when Bobby and I would sing. But yeah, it was just a great education, and he was, you know, he had been working with a lot of girl groups, you know, the Crystals and Darlene Love, and you know, people like the Ronettes and people like that. So him working with a couple of guys, and Bobby and I were somewhat a couple of street guys, so he was real good with us.
Wasn't Cher in the background there on You've Lost That Love and Feeling?
Yeah, Cher was singing vocal background. I think Sonny was did some tambourine work. Glenn Campbell was on guitar. Leon Russell was on piano. I mean, it was
quite a lineup.
Quite a lineup. Yeah.
And at first, you thought it was too long a record and too slow, didn't you?
Well, yeah. When they started teaching us the song, Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who wrote the song, Barry and Phil Spector sang it to us, and they had kind of high, thin voices, and they were doing it a lot faster. They were, you never close your eyes anymore when I kiss you, you know, kind of like that. And I couldn't hit the real high note. You lost that love. I couldn't hit it. So they would lower it, and every time they would lower it, Phil slowed it down. And I think we ended up having to go down about two or three steps to get down. You never close your eyes. And it was real slow. And so when it was finished, it was way too long. It probably would have been about a three-minute record if we would have done it the speed that they wrote it in. But it ended up to be about 4 minutes. So we knew we probably weren't going to, it wasn't going to be a hit. We loved it. We thought it was a phenomenal record, and Phil did an incredible job. And Barry and Cynthia are the two greatest writers in the business. Mm-hmm. And, even though Cynthia just passed away. So it was too slow. Whoever was singing lead was singing too low. No, I sounded like I was on the wrong speed. But I think everything that kind of was wrong with it made it kind of special. So So thank God for wrong stuff.
Yeah, and there's a story, I don't know if it's true, that Spector or somebody put a time on the record that was shorter so disc jockeys would play it. Is that right?
Well, yeah. You know, back in 64 and 5 when it was recorded, a normal record had to be, you know, about 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put on there that this was 3 minutes and 50 seconds or something like that. And the truth is it was like 4 minutes, but the disc jockeys loved it. I mean, when we started meeting the disc jockeys that were playing it, they said they loved the song because they called it their bathroom song.
Yeah.
It was so long they could go to the bathroom.
Yeah, always welcome a break like that. Let me play a little bit of another number one song from Bill Medley from 1987. This one won a Grammy and also an Oscar. Time of My Life with Jennifer Warnes from Dirty Dancing. Donna Summer turned it down. Daryl Hall turned it down. Kim Carn said no. And Bill Medley, you declined to record it at first, didn't you? How come?
Well, I'm a California guy, and they wanted me to go out to New York to record it. And my wife was just about ready to have our child, McKenna, our daughter. And I told them I can't do it. And I promised my wife I'd be there at the birth. So I turned it down. And it was funny when they called me, they said, Bill, we want you to do this song for the movie. And I said, well, what's the name of the movie? They said, Dirty Dancing. I said, that sounds like a bad porno movie. I don't know if my mom, I have to wait for my mom and dad to okay that. But they would call back about once a week, Jimmy Einer, the guy who put all the music together for the movie, would call me about every week to see if I could do it. And finally, Paula had our child, McKenna, who actually now is on stage singing it with me.
Mm.
She's a great singer. So, you know, they called and said, Jennifer Warnes wants to do the song if she can sing it with you. And Jennifer and I just love Jennifer. A great voice. And she had just had that hit with Joe Cocker, Up Where We Belong. You know, I think I was supposed to kind of represent Patrick Swayze, and she was supposed to represent Jennifer Grey. So we went in. We didn't think the movie was going to do anything. You know, just a small little movie. But we went in and recorded it because we wanted to sing together. We wanted to work together. So we went in the studio and threw a whole bunch of stuff on tape. And, man, they just made a great record out of it. And when I went to see the movie, I was on the road, and a disc jockey said, we're playing the heck out of that record. And I said, wow, that's cool. And by the time I got off the road for about a week and a half, it was always already number one around the world, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the movie just took off, and the song was in the perfect place in the movie, you know, couldn't miss.
You did a great job on it. How do you feel when you hear that played during vacation commercials on television now?
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, man, and listen, thank God, it's the song that will not die.
Yeah.
About every week, my manager calls and says, they want to use it for a movie. They want to use it for the. Are you okay with that? And I say, yeah, I'm okay, but I can't exactly tell you why. You know, I guess it just has a good vibe to it. I mean, it's probably the first positive song I've ever sang.
So many great Righteous Brothers songs, Unchained Melody, Soul and Inspiration, Just Once in My Life, which, by the way, my favorite, Rock and Roll Heaven. And it'll be Bill Medley with Bucky Hurd, the Righteous Brothers today. And Bucky is an incredible artist, great vocal range. He's performed with everyone from the Beach Boys to B.B. King. He's a great writer and producer. And you can see him this Thursday night in Waukegan at the Genesee Theater. Bill, before I let you go, a couple more things. I'm curious about your relationship with Elvis. You got to know him over the years. Were you able to get past all of his people, the Memphis Mafia and the bodyguards, to get to know what kind of person he really was?
Yeah, actually, I had the pleasure of working at the Hilton, International Hilton, when Elvis was there. I think Elvis got me the job. Elvis used to come and see Bobby and I way back there when we first started in 63. Before Love and Feeling and all that, he would come to see us, him and the boys. But when I started working at the Hilton, he would do a 8 o'clock and a 12 o'clock show, and I would do a 10 and a 2. And a lot of times before his 12 o'clock show, he would call me and ask me to come down to his dressing room. So I would go down, and it would just be Elvis and I and Elvis's hairdresser. So I had many, many, many conversations with just Elvis and I, and we had a lot in common. We were raised basically on the same music and old motorcycles and all that stuff. But I really got to know, truth is, I got to know him as Elvis, and I forgot he was Elvis Presley. Because, you know, when all the boys would get around or this and that, then the atmosphere would change quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But he was a great guy. One-on-one, he was a wonderful guy.
Yeah, I always had the feeling that, you know, if not for too many yes men around him, he could have had a much longer life and also an even more successful career late in life.
Yeah, I just did a documentary on Elvis, and they interviewed me, and they were talking pretty much about that. What was it, 68? In 1968, he did that comeback TV
yep.
show,
mm-hmm.
something. And they were asking a lot about that. And I said, you know, the boys were okay. I think they were great guys, by the way, those the Memphis guys. And but I really thought that he needed to not get rid of, but change management.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the colonel, I thought the colonel did a phenomenal job to get him to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got him into all those Mickey Mouse movies and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think if you would have changed management, you know, in about 68 or 70 when he went back to work in Vegas, yeah, I think he would have started doing really good movies, better songs, even though he did start doing some better songs at the end, like Ghetto and that stuff. But yeah, they were a lot of yes men around him, and I've had a little bit of that, and that just doesn't work. That's not good. The king doesn't have any clothes on. You got to tell him.
Yeah, Bill Medley's story is in the book that I read a few years ago. If you can find it, it's a fantastic read, and it's called "The Time of My Life: A Righteous Brother's Memoir." And Bill, I imagine your fans still love it when you talk a little bit about your original partner, the late Bobby Hatfield. I know you do all the songs now with Bucky Hurd, but we always love hearing the stories.
Well, there's a million of them.
Yeah.
That's why I tell the people about the book. I said, this is in the book. It was everything Bobby and I did, didn't do, and shouldn't have done. So I try not to spend too much time on some of that stuff because we have so many songs we need to do or want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we do all the hits, but I do Unchained Melody, and we play a video, and it's a tribute to Bobby, and we talk about Bobby all the way through the show. The show in reality is really a tribute to Bobby Hatfield and the Righteous Brothers music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Bucky Hurd is just phenomenal. Just September 19th, I turned 83, so he's making my job a lot easier.
You got to get some young blood on stage with you, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's Thursday night at 7:30, the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. Get your tickets now while there's still a few around at the Genesee box office. And Bill Medley, always great to talk to you, and a belated congratulations on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Must have been wonderful to have Billy Joel induct you.
Yeah, Billy Joel's been a friend for years and years, and he was the perfect guy to do that, and that was very sweet of him to do that.
Well, you got a lot of fans around Chicago, and they'll be there in Waukegan Thursday night. Thanks for the time
perfect.
This morning, Bill.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Take care now. Stay well.
You too. Thank you, man.